there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. How are we doing? Good, great. Man, I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope it was really rich and just a good time. I love how God gives us the ability throughout the year just to have events and dates and circumstances where he allows us to stop, focus, really remember who he is, how we fit into his plan, what that looks like. And I just love that Christmas is one of those, and it's awesome. So I hope you had a good one. I hope that, you know, your relationships were as good as they could be, and you enjoyed some good time together, and that you were thankful for that. So we're heading into a new year. Are you ready for 2019? Yeah. No, yes, woo, maybe. All right, well, you have one day to figure it out. But again, that's another time where God just gives us a chance to, through a schedule, believe it or not, kind of hit the reset button. It's kind of a natural spot to kind of start a new chapter, if you will, maybe a new year. You guys don't have to hear that from me. You see that around. It's new year, new me, or whatever that is, right? Everybody knows, whether you believe it or not, the beginning of a new year is kind of a new page, right? It's a time to kind of rethink, maybe start over, maybe try to do what we did last year, whatever that looks like for you. That's kind of what the new year is. And so as we're transitioning into this new year in this series where we have just been for our Christmas series, we talked about distractions, right? We talked about God's intention for Christmas is for us to remember and celebrate and be mindful of the birth of Jesus, right? God with us, Emmanuel. And we talked about for a couple weeks, what does it look like for us to get distracted, right? And a few points that I remember was, I mean, that some really good things can end up being bad things or not so good things because they become the main thing, right? We talked about how that can creep in and happen, right? We talked about what it means to be intentional and go, hey, Christmas can be about a lot of different things, but what is it gonna be about for us, right? What are these distractions? Can we see them coming, right? Maybe even more, how do we plan, right, to not get sideways? How do we plan to not get overwhelmed? What does that look like for us to be mindful of the season? We talked about that for Christmas, and we had kind of talked about distractions was the main idea behind that. Well, we're gonna continue that theme a little bit as we head into a new year, and the cool part about that idea for Christmas is that's just a microcosm of what we believe all the time, right? All the time. Not just on that day or for that season, but it should be for every day and every season, right? We should go, what's this day about? What am I about? What are we really celebrating? What are we really striving for every day? And so in that same thread, as we look into a new year, we're gonna start a new series to go, what does that look like for my life, right? My schedule. And so this series is gonna be called It's About Time. It's About Time. What do you think this is gonna be about? Oh, so good. The second service is so much more on it than the first service. The first service is like, what? Well, you just told us it was about schedule. I know. Yeah, it's about time, right? And there's a lot of wordplay with that. You could hear it a couple different ways this morning. I think both are fine, right? It's about time. I mean, usually when I hear that, it's kind of like, hey, it's about time. It's about time. Okay, and you might hear that this morning. That might be your response. For you, it might be about time. Okay. Now the other part of that is what we talked about is it is about time. The topic is about your time. The intent is your time. What do you do with your time? What don't you do with your time? What can you do with your time? All those things. And the main idea behind it is how do we prioritize our time, our lives, our schedules? Right? And our hope is that we look at that as we go, what does God say about that? What is God's desire for us? What does he have laid out for us? What warnings does he give us? What encouragements does he give us? What model does he give us? How do we prioritize our life to be set apart, right? And that's what we're gonna talk about. So as we transition into that, I think of the word Christian gets thrown around a lot these days, and man, There's a lot of responses to what the question of what is a Christian could be. I think there's lots of responses depending on who you're talking to. All right, some people might go, oh, a Christian is just being American, right? They're just synonymous. It just am, right? Some can be really great. Man, being a Christian is being a good person, right? Doing the right thing, right? Sometimes it can be negative. A Christian is, yeah, not anything close to real, right? We hear the word hypocrite. We hear the word, right, maybe weak. There's a lot of different ideas of what it means to be a Christian, true or not, but that's what's out there. There's a lot more, wouldn't you agree, about what does that actually mean? Well, we would say from God's word that what he says is the right definition of what that looks like. Not only in what he says it is, but how we're supposed to be that. Right? I think that we get confused because a lot of times we say, this is what it is, we can talk it, or somebody can talk it, or somebody will say, this is what it looks like, and it doesn't necessarily match up with what we do. There's a lot of reasons for that. But we would say that a Christian, somebody that is a disciple of Jesus Christ, for the most part, and a disciple of Jesus is one that has made that decision. There's intentionality behind that. There's purpose, right? We're trying to do something on purpose. It's not an accident. When you look at the word disciple, it's kind of fun to unpack a little bit. And so disciple, we got for the first swing, is a learner, somebody that learns, right? Or a student, a student. There's also a couple of fun adjectives also that go along with that. There's learner, there's student, right? There's pupil, which is just a higher degree of student, right? But there's also an adjective that goes with it would be someone that is an adherent. You've heard that word before, adherent. What does the word adhere mean? Like sticks to, right? Yeah. And so we would say that a Christian is someone that sticks to whatever that topic would be. In this case, we would say God and his purposes, his word, Jesus, hopefully, adheres to, stick with it. Another adjective that goes along with that word disciple or learner is an enthusiast. Enthusiast, woo! Right, when you hear enthusiast, what comes to mind? Nothing? Excellent, excited. I heard excited, right? What sort of activity do you think of when you hear the word enthusiast? Football. Yeah, it's something active, right? There's excitement, there's intentionality, right? I could be I'm a rock climbing enthusiast, right? I think earlier I said I could be a crocheting enthusiast. What's intentionality, right? There's excitement, I'm enthusiastic about it. I care about it, I'm putting attention to it. I wanna do it, I'm just gonna go after it. Does that sound like the definition of Christian? Right, there's a funnier one that I think is even good that goes along with that thread. Literally, in the definition, you look it up on the computer or whatever you use, it says a hound. Hound. Barrr. Like dog, right? Hound dog. It was a hound dog do. Yeah, right? There's a lot of bark. They sniff it out constantly after it, on the trail, on the scent. Find it. Go, go, go. Where is it? Go. Lose the trail, get back on it. Right, lose the trail, get back on it. Find it, wake up in the morning, find the trail, get back on it. Right? Yeah, squirrel, what is that? Get back on it. Okay, that's the intent. That's the descriptive word of what it should be for us to be a Christian. To be a disciple of Jesus is characteristic of words like that. Guys, you can't do any of that if we don't prioritize who we are, what we care about, and how we spend our time. It matters, right? And even the beginning of that definition, if we're gonna be learners, students, that means we have to be willing to listen. Listen to the teacher. And we have a good teacher, right? We have a good father that wants to show us truth. We have a good teacher to follow in Jesus that has been where you and I have been. He's had temptations. He's had struggles. He's been there. He's modeled it for us, and we can follow that model as we choose to be disciples. Matthew 4:19, something we adhere to a lot, at least in this community of believers, is our definition of a disciple. And in Matthew 4:19, he goes to his disciples and he says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There's a three-part definition from that. The first piece is that Jesus gives us what? An invitation. And what's our part in that invitation? It's to follow. Yeah. We got to choose to follow first. That's our part. Do you see that we have a part to play? And we have to choose to follow Jesus. That sounds like a silly question, but Jesus is a what? Person. He's living. He's active. He has intention. And so in order to follow him, we must pay attention and choose to follow and listen to his word, the model that he's shown. That's active. That's a part we have to play. That takes time and effort and intentionality. And when we do that, what does he say he's going to do? He changes us. Yeah. Like, we get to be changed and be different. When? As we follow. Now, I'm a kind of a simple guy, and so I want to just go followed once, check. Right? Like, Jesus went that way, I went that way, good, done, right? No. As we go, as we follow, who does the changing? Jesus does. Through his word, through his spirit, through other people, Jesus changes us into something different. I'm emphasizing that because that matters. For those of us that want to sit there, and it's true, you guys, it's true for myself, to go, I just kind of am this way. And there's some things that are, I can't change that. I can't kick that. You understand? Jesus can change that. As you go, as we follow, he can change us into something different. And that something different that we talk about, the third part of that definition is that we follow, takes action. Jesus changes us from the inside out, and he changes us to be about something that matters. His mission, the kingdom. And that's the only real purpose, value, feel good, whatever you want to call it. That's the only real thing that will fulfill you, is to be following Jesus and to be changed and to be about his purpose and his mission. You're designed that way. He created us that way. And he's just saying, come on, come on, come on. Will you follow? Will you follow? Our part is to go, yes. Not once. Now hear me on this. This part matters. Salvation is by faith alone. So saying Jesus, yes, is what gives us salvation. It's by grace and it's through faith. But as God chooses to do that, he says, I want to make you into something amazing now. I want to use you now. You have a meaningful life now. Come on. I'll follow you. I'll change you. I'll show, I'll use you. I've given you gift. Come on. It's so great. And our part of that is what we're talking about this morning. Because our part is to go, what do I do with my time? What am I choosing to do with my time? What am I not doing with my time? What am I being intentional about? What am I following, right? Squirrel, I don't know. Could be, but here's what's great, remember? Definition of a disciple is hound dog, get back on it. Get back on it, it's okay, get back on it. And God's going, here we go, come on, I'll be with you, here we go. So we're gonna talk about time and prioritizing according to what God has for us. So there's a great video, I think it comes from a book, that's a representation of this idea. How do we prioritize? What do I do first? What shouldn't I do? How does that work? And hopefully as we talk about this morning, you're starting to think about, what are those things for me? Like, what am I doing? What am I not doing? What am I spending my time on? Right? And so when I watch this video this morning, I want you to be thinking about, what does this look like for you? And then we're going to talk about it. So let's watch this video. Cover the top right there at the end. It's pretty good, huh? Yeah. There's a lot to pull out of that. So something to think about. Let's make some observations. Again, we're talking about our time, right? Prioritizing. What do I do with what I have? All those components as we continue to dive into this. Here's a couple things to notice from that video, right? The amount of objects, in this case, rocks and sand, I guess it's all kind of the same, different sizes. The amount in both sequences does not change, right? It's the same amount of stuff that goes into that, right? Notice that? Secondly, the jar, the cup, if you will, the size does not change. It's the same. Okay, what are the implications of that? The implications of that is that when we choose to prioritize the most important things in our life, as the video said, it doesn't necessarily mean that you just start throwing stuff out. Right? Now, it may mean that, but it doesn't mean you just start throwing stuff out. That's not the intention. To prioritize is to choose which ones go first. So the idea behind that would be deciphering the good things from the great or greatest thing, not nothing. Hopefully, you don't think about your time and what you do, and this is hopefully is why I said that, and go, all of this stuff that I'm doing has zero meaning, none at all, I don't care, I don't even know why I'm doing anything. That would be the stuff you want to throw away. Now, if you have some of that, you got a good first step. Throw it away. Okay? The second part of why the same size matters is for those of us that are achievers, maybe overachievers, doers, do-more-ers, you can't go get a bigger bucket and just start putting more stuff in so it fits. You know what I'm saying? You can't add hours to your day. You just add more, do more. That's not the idea behind what the film is. So when you look at that, hopefully you're going, I wonder what those objects are for me. What are the big rocks? What are the little rocks? What's the sand right in my life? What is that stuff? And you notice, when you put all the sand in first, you put the little rocks, you start put the big rocks in, it doesn't fit. It doesn't work. And what happens is you're left with those big rocks, right, at least in the thing, they fall off. It's a little unnerving. When you turn it around, put the big rocks in first, they all fit. Things that are most important, things that come first, put them in, they're in. Then the less important stuff, what do you know? They all fit too. After the big stuff, and then gosh, even most all of the sand, the little stuff that doesn't even really matter, it fits too. And the little particles of sand, they kind of fell off to the side, right? And when you're watching that, you're like, oh my gosh, there's 37 pieces of sand that didn't make it in there. No way. I didn't do that. Now, you could be like me too and see that and go, we need to clean the sand off of there. It's kind of dirty. Clean it up. That could be true. What's the sand? What are the rocks for you? What's the priority? If I was to ask you, right, what fills you the most? Fills us up. We talk about that sometimes. What fills your cup? What brings you purpose? What fills you up? Hopefully that would be the big rock, right? Do you think that anybody on purpose would choose the little tiny sand thing? If I just said, you could pick one, big rock, little rock, piece of sand, one, only one, has to go in first, which one are you picking? I would hope nobody would go, little piece of sand, right? We probably would all go, man, big, the biggest solid rock you can find. That's what's gonna fill me up. And it's true. But for you, I'm asking you, what is that? What is that rock? What are those big rocks that go in there? Gotta prioritize. Another interesting thing about that video is oftentimes, and I know this is true about me, the big rocks are the big rocks, right? We actually get it right. And the big rocks are Jesus. And what Jesus says are the big rocks, relationship, right? How do I find what God has for me? How do I serve well? How do I use my giftedness for loving God and other people? Big rock, big rock, big, that's great. But even if you have the right priority of what the item should be, if we put them in the wrong order, we actually don't get to it. I find that struggle personally a lot. It has nothing to do with are the big rocks, and the little rocks, the little rocks. It has everything to do with my decision in what order I give them attention. So many times, it's like, oh, get those big rocks in there at the end, and then they fall. Well, I'll try it again tomorrow. But what I don't do tomorrow, or maybe the next week, or maybe the next year, is go, don't put the sand in first. What I don't do is go, hey, will you help me? I'm really trying to not put the sand in first. I want to put the big rock in first. Can you help me? And then I find myself going, oh, man. Wish I would have got there if, this is the kicker, this is where it's like, oh, right in the stomach. If I just had enough time, I'd do that. That's what we're talking about. How do we put the most important things in first? So we're going to take a look at a couple of pieces of scripture here, because God loves us so much. He wants what's best for us, and he gives us some lenses to look through to help us prioritize. And we're going to do some philosophy, some big stuff from scripture this morning. And then next week, when you come back, we're going to talk about more of the specifics, the exact how-to, what does this look like in each of the areas of my life? But today we're putting on the lenses to go, how do I first be intentional about prioritizing? What does that look like? So I want to take a look at Matthew 16. And the first idea here is that God says, I'm asking you to trust me because I love you. And here's what I'm going to say. The stuff that just left to yourself, kind of just right here, that first inclination, that desire that you have, oh, trust me with it. Don't give into it. Just trust me. Don't give into it. And he says, deny that part of what you're looking for. Just trust me. So Matthew 16, the first lens is, how do we say no to me first? How do we deny that first? Matthew 16. It's not in your notes. I'm sorry. I apologize. My fault. Okay, sorry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Whoever wants to be my disciple, my learner, my follower, that hound dog, must deny themselves and pick up their cross. When I think of this, and I think deny myself, I have two young kids, a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and as their dad, right, I want what's best for them all the time. Always want what's best for them. And oftentimes the conversation in our house is like, what are we gonna eat? What are we gonna eat? What are we gonna eat? I'm hungry. What are we gonna eat? Right? And I hope that over time, as I've talked with my kids and my kids have lived with me, and I would be like, they're gonna make a good decision this time, right? And I'm like, all right, go for it. And they're like, cotton candy. I'm like, dang, right? I'm like, no, really, what do you want? And they're like, cotton candy, right? Hot chocolate, marshmallows. I'm like, okay, okay. Now, are they bad? Because that's what they want? No. It's just in them. It's just kind of their first inclination. And I said, hey, what do you want? What do you want to do? You have the freedom to choose. Candy, 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 stuff, stuff, stuff. Now, they could have that, and they'd probably be okay, maybe, for a while, but over and over and over and over and over again, probably not so good. Well, I can be that little kid with God, too. What do you want? What do you want to do? And I really hope you'll make this decision. What do you want to do? Hot chocolate and cotton candy, right? Woo! You know, for me, that's more like me, selfish time, right? I want to go hunting. I want to go fishing. Too much. I'm going to sit here and scroll on Facebook. Too long. Right? I'm going to watch 7 episodes of Netflix, whatever that is. That's what I want to do. Me, 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 me first. God says, don't do, say no to that. Trust me. Trust me. Please say no to that fleshly desire that's going to choose you first. And follow me. Trust me. Follow me. pick up that cross, which means you're gonna have to make a decision and follow me. So the first idea for us to look at when we're thinking of our time and our schedule is, what part of me just kind of gets in the way, right? I know that I'm usually what pops up first. Me, no, right? But that's a decision, you guys. That is prioritizing. That is choosing to follow Jesus. That is saying no. It's going, I know you're there, no. And over time, you start to go, that's actually better, right? So Jesus says, deny ourselves first in that fashion and focus on who? Following Jesus. Right? That's why that hound dog analogy is funny and true and enthusiast, is to go, okay, yes, there's gonna be squirrels. Yes, there's gonna be this trail. Yes, I'm gonna lose the scent, but will I go back to it? Will I go back to it? Will I go back to it? Follow, follow, follow. First idea is to go, when I'm thinking of my time, my schedule, my priorities, when I'm praying through it and I look at it and I'm willing to ask other people, hey, what do you think? What part of me is popping up in there that I can go, okay, how do I say no to that? And please hear me on this. I'm not saying throw it all out. God enjoys when we get to do things that we enjoy because he's put that in us. But he grieves when we go, me first, me always, me at the top, me, 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 and then maybe down there I'll get to it when I have more time. That's not what we're talking about. First idea is we prioritize. What's me? And how do I deny that? When we're following Jesus and the hound dog, we're chasing after it, some practical things would be to go, if I'm getting back on that trail, if I'm getting back on that scent, if I'm gonna be an enthusiast about it, is how much of his word do I know? How can I sit down and read? One verse even. Can I do it every day? Can I just make that a priority, read his word? Can I make it a priority to spend time in prayer? Just talk with him. Share with him what's hard. Thank him for what's good, right? Maybe that actually is, I have too much cotton candy and marshmallows. Maybe I need to spend some time fasting. Really, the personal disciplines to go prioritize, get on track. What big rock goes in first, and then the others will follow. What does that look like? That's personally, what about in relationship? Right, the hard pick up the cross, you don't know me, God, you can't change me. It's really hard, don't you know I don't like people? Yes, he does. Invest in your relationships. Be willing to meet with someone. Be willing to step out and go, gosh, I really don't want to be in a group at all. I don't want to be in a group. But maybe I should. Hound dog, get back. Deny self. The second idea comes from later on in Matthew. In Matthew 6, it's actually before that, where he's talking about denying ourselves and then seeking the kingdom. And they kind of play together. They go hand in hand. Saying no to me and yes to Jesus can be one and the same. But I think it's hard to say yes to Jesus if I don't say no to me first. I like to go yes to Jesus and yes to me, right? But I think there's a reason why he says no to us first and then seek the kingdom. Matthew 6 talks about seeking first the kingdom. In verse 31, I'm about halfway through the verse, I think, in your notes. It says, do not worry, saying, what are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? What are we gonna wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has plenty of worry about itself, and each day has enough trouble of its own. So in context, he's saying, don't worry about the stuff. What are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? What are we gonna wear? We got all this stuff. And here's what that means. Here's why this matters. It's because we don't just get to wake up and have an abundant plethora of food and water and clothes, which we actually do when we're in this country, but it just doesn't show up. How do we get it? Most of the time. You go work for it. Most of the time, not all the time. So you run that equation backwards and you go, okay, if I wanna have stuff, I wanna eat, wanna drink, wanna wear clothes, then I gotta work for it. If I gotta work for it, then I gotta spend all this time working, which you do. But if I want more, or different or better, then I probably got to work more, which means I need to be gone more, so I need to get more. I need to work more to get more, to have more, and then all of a sudden the thing that he says, don't worry about it, it's consuming, it's right here. And maybe that's just me, but that's a really easy schedule filler like that. And then we're on the back end of it. My glass is full of sand, there's a whole bunch of little rocks in there, and I'm left with the big major things going, well, my schedule is already booked for the next 17 years. Because I have to. False. We choose to. Now, guys, I am not saying that don't work and don't do anything. What I am saying is what Jesus is saying is don't let that consume. Stuff. What about this? What about that? What am I going to do here? How am I going to do this? And again, the focus on this is don't worry about the stuff. The crazy part about this verse is he says, seek what first? The kingdom. And then what? And his righteousness. And then those things will be added to you or given to you. When you watch the video, the big rock first, his kingdom, his righteousness, his people. Love God, love others, be connected in the body, use the gifts that he's given you, be benevolent, be kind, be in community, put those big rocks in first, and then it'll be added, just like the video. And here's what's crazy, God can choose to do in your life what God wants to do in your life if you follow him. I think it's interesting that in that verse he says, and then it will be given or added to you, not then you will go get it. Right? Is anybody else out there fearful that if I don't put all these things in order and do all this stuff and have this job and work all the things and get all this stuff, then I'm not gonna make it? I'm not gonna make it. Because if I don't get it and it's not up to me, then I'm not gonna have it. That is not what that verse says. It doesn't. It says, seek him and trust him in his righteousness. As you follow him, he'll change you. And then that stuff will be added. Maybe it's not because of anything that you do. Maybe it's because somebody else is willing to give it to you. Maybe it's because God has designed his church in such a way that we can take care of each other and provide for each other and love on each other if we follow. And he changes us and he uses us. God, it's a stinger for me. Because I want to be the one to provide. I want to be the one to get it. I want to be the one to attain it. And my schedule is going to look like it. And then when I do a really good job and work really hard doing all the things to get all the stuff, I'm tired, so I need to rest for me. Ugh. But that's just me. I get there so quick. Fill the cup with sand. Boom. How do we pause and go, okay, all right. What are the big rocks for me? And how do I put them in first? And how do I have enough faith and trust that the other stuff will be added later? And guess what? If some of the little sand doesn't get added later, you're not gonna notice and you're not gonna care. Just like the video, sweep it off, okay, doesn't matter. But when you put it in first and the big rocks don't make it, you're gonna notice and it matters. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then the rest will be added. So hopefully right now you're going, okay, what's my schedule? What are my big rocks? Yes, these are the big rocks. How do I put these in first? How do I reprioritize? What does that look like? We're gonna look at one more scripture today from Luke, just as an example from a person that made some decisions and that we can glean from. We're gonna try to help continue to reprioritize our time. We're looking at Luke 12, 13 through 21. This is a man, he comes to talk to Jesus. And we're gonna read this, and then we're gonna pull a couple points. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, for this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. So this is an example. It's a parable. A couple things of context here. There's a man at the beginning of this that goes to Jesus, stands before Jesus, and has the opportunity to ask of him anything. Right? Anything. So insert yourself into the story really quick. You're before God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of everything, you and everything in it, and you have a chance to request anything from God. What do you ask him? What do you want him to tell you? What do you want him to show you? What do you want from him? What, anything at all, anything to request, what would it be? And here's what's great. You actually get to do that every day as you're in relationship with him. God, here I am. God, here's my question. God, here's what's hard. God, help me with this. God, show me that. Big rock first. Big rock first. In this example, what did the man talk about? What did he ask for? I want you to tell my brother to give me half of the stuff that we got. That's what he says, right? Temporal, finite stuff here and now. Jesus is kind of like, what, you made me the judge between you and your brother? That's his response. That's what he says. That's what he asked for. Temporal, finite, here, now. And here's what's painful but true. I also try to put myself in the story. I'm just like this guy, right? I'm like, hey, God, it's somebody else's fault. Hey, he did something else wrong, right? It's my brother. Tell my brother to give me half. I want to go, God, my priority is not first, and I'm not asking you these things because somebody else did a thing that I didn't like. Or the circumstances that it's not my fault, somebody else's is why I want you to give me the stuff now. Guys, I'm that, I get there, I can get there. Sand first, little pebbles, then I'm left with the big rocks. And I'm like, yeah, but if TJ would not put the sand in first, then I would have put this in first. So we get a chance every day to go, God, let's not be like this person. We get a chance to ask, help me see. Additionally, we go on, right? And the warning from Jesus is to be careful with all forms of greed or selfishness. And the focus that he's talking about is that that gentleman's focus and intention was on what? Himself. Right? Be careful. And the interesting part was, in this context, he's talking about material possessions, right? But he says all kinds of greed. We talked about just a couple minutes ago that if we're going to choose to be Christians, hound dogs for Jesus, right? Disciples, learners, students, followers, where God changes us, that's going to take everything. That sounds a lot like treasure, yep. But it also sounds a lot like talent. And time, right? So Jesus says, be warned by being selfish with your time, your treasure, and your talent. And some of us are phenomenally gifted by God. And he gave us those gifts for him, to glorify him, and to love and to serve and help other people. Be careful that those gifts don't become for you, for me focused. Be careful that our time that is given to you is not for you, for me focused, to be greedy with my time, to be greedy with my gifts, to be greedy with my treasure. Because when you run it out, just like in this parable, and what ends up happening to this gentleman? He builds and builds and builds and builds. The focus is on himself. And then what happens? he's gone. Now you and I get the same number of hours each day, same number of minutes within those hours, but none of us know when that last one is. None of us, that's not up to us. But what is up to us is what we do with the ones that we have. And what is the focus and intention of what we're doing it with? And then the parable, he says, who's gonna take your stuff that you got? That's a real question. Somebody's gonna find it and they'll use it, guarantee it. But what's the intention behind that? What does it look like for us to build bigger barns that's not for us? What does it look like for us to put the big rocks in, our time, our schedule, that is kingdom focused, benefits others? Carve that spot into the schedule. What does that look like? Last example from this here is that notice that the man in the story put off today for tomorrow. He thought he had enough time. He thought he could continue to put the things in first and then we'll get there. Then I'll have enough. Then I'll fill my barns. Then I'll have enough surplus and then eat, drink, and be merry is what he says. But he doesn't get the chance. When I look at my daily schedule, no joke, daily schedule, I get to that point. I can get there. Work really hard, set that alarm clock, set it, okay, go to bed, goes off, right out of the gate. I'm like, this was a bad idea. This was a bad idea, snooze, right? Or it's like, okay, get up. Oh, it's early, doing whatever, where's that Bible? Oh, it's on my phone now, because it's easier. Pull that phone out, like, oh, there's an ESPN app on here. Maybe there's an Instagram on here. There's the weather app on here. There's the stocks app on here, right? It'll just be a couple minutes. Just a couple minutes, couple pieces of sand in there, right? 90 minutes later, huh? What? Oh, kids are up, no breakfast, got to get to school, throwing stuff together, to put on yesterday's clothes, right out the door. Next thing you know, late for work, but it's 5:30 p.m. What happened? Sand. And that's what I get at the end of the day, sand. But tomorrow, I'll get there. That's reality. That's reality, you guys. And I can try really, 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 really hard by myself, and I can make some gains, that's true. But when I can say no to that first, I can tell my friends, because I've had them make the hard decision to be in relationship, to invest time in getting to know other people and letting them know me, to being in groups, to having one own relationship, I can go, here's how I'm doing. And they can go, yeah, maybe me too. But then I get accountability. I get help, I get encouragement, right? To say no to myself, yes to Jesus, follow him, go for it. Pick me up when I fall down. Pick you up when you fall down. He'll change us. It's about time. As we end here this morning, again, we're going to talk a little bit more next week about what the specifics are. What does this look like at home for you? What does this look like where you work? What does this look like here in the church for us to prioritize our time, for us to figure out what goes in first, and then how do I put the big things in first? How do I actually do that? God's word in each other, to help each other do that well. And so the crew's gonna come out here and we're gonna worship here in a second. And here's something I want us to think about is that you have the opportunity to choose what the biggest rock in your life is. What is the biggest rock in our life? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the rock. And if that's a decision that you need to make today, that's the best decision of priority of time that you can make, is to say, God, I want to give you my time. For some of us, that means that we already know, yep, Jesus, you're the rock, and I want you to be that big rock, my priority that I put in first. But right now, I'm off the rock. Right now, I'm off the trail. Right now, I'm not following, I'm not learning, and I'm not changing. Maybe today is when you go, Let's get back on the rock. Let's rebuild on the rock. Let's get back on the path. Let's get back on the trail. Let's get back following. And that is the number one priority.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.